This is a service recording of the Unitarian Universalist Society of Oneonta, New York.
So I ran into somebody the other day who asked me how the sermon was coming along, and I said, well, I'm working on it. And I said, it's going to be a hellfire and brimstone speech. And then they laughed. And I thought, well, not exactly. But I have heard many a hellfire and brimstone speech from Unitarian Universalists, just not in the way you would think. It's less, you're all going to hell, and more, everything's going to hell. We're doomed, we must mend our ways, or else. And then insert whatever the doom is. My favorite one of this quality was preached at the Service of the Living Tradition at General Assembly in 2005. It's called Out of Walden, Out from Walden by the Reverend Patrick O'Neill. But amongst my colleagues who were there that night, it is best known as the Walden is Burning speech. Here's the best passage. Brothers and sisters, I come to announce to you some rather alarming news. In case you haven't yet noticed, Walden is burning! The woods, our beloved woods, are on fire. Our Eden, our idyllic retreat, our sylvan sanctuary from the mundane cares of the world. Eden is ablaze tonight. Every one of you who dons the stole of ministerial office tonight is hereby called to action. All idyllic weekend passes are hereby canceled. And you are to report immediately to these pulpits, or to the community agencies that you serve, to your chaplaincies, to the classrooms where you teach, to the communities where your voice is respected, where your leadership is counted upon. Walden, our beloved liberal religious haven from the world, Walden is on fire. And it is time for more Unitarian Universalists to catch fire too. And this was before the Hunger Games, so it wasn't... And it went on from there, with more fire. And some of my colleagues at the time, they heard that call and they got fired up. That was the whole point. And I thought, thinking to myself, I don't know about that. I'm pretty sure Walden itself isn't on fire. And I've heard people talk about Unitarian Universalism dying before. I'm fairly new to this faith. I discovered it pretty late in life. And almost every year I've heard somebody tell me that if we don't fix it, it's going to disappear. That was the closest I've ever come to hearing a hellfire and brimstone sermon. And he spoke it with the passion of a tent revivalist. And I watched some of the people really do there, but I found myself wondering if there was just a little bit more smoke than fire at the time. In 2009... the reported number of Unitarian Universalists shrunk. And then again in 2010, and then in 2011, which made it less a blip and starting of a trend. And so the UU World posted an article in each one of those years. In 2011, it said, "The slight decline in our membership in the Unitarian Universalist Association occurred as many other denominations posted steeper declines," which was their way of saying, we are all going to hell, but they're going to hell faster. Reverend Harlan Limpert wrote, "If we don't have more young people, our future does not look bright." And Reverend Peter Morales, before he became our president, wrote, "Where our faith was once strongest, it is now in steady decline. We must create and sustain a sense of urgency." Urgency is not panic. Urgency is a sense that we can and must change if we are to create the congregations and movement we seek. And with those words, we collectively panicked. Sermons on how UUism was dying abounded. We had to change our ways, find our center, hone our message. And I remember thinking, we have a center. We have a message. Now maybe we need to be better about articulating it, and I don't know, maybe some of our churches need to be better at welcoming people. I don't know. Some things are changing, though. Some things were changing at the time. Our society was changing a little bit, and all of the churches were feeling it, and we were starting to feel it as well. And then came my time to come to Oneonta. Like my colleagues who are candidating this week, I came to visit, and it started to become serious. It's kind of like a dating process. You're checking each other out and trying to see if this is the person you want to be with and this is the congregation you want to be with. And you're looking for, you know, little flaws that you don't want to live with for the rest of your life. And then you start talking to your friends about this new congregation you've met. And I had one colleague say to me, "Oh, no, you don't want to go to Oneonta." "Why?" "Well, you know, they're in the middle of nowhere. That's where ministers go to, you know, retire. You're not looking to retire. You've got a future." I thought, wow, that's pretty bleak. Cheryl and I came here, and the first thing we thought when we came here is, this place feels like home. It's a well-respected church. This is one of the first places I showed up, and when I mentioned Unitarian Universalism, the people didn't go, "Huh?" or take a step back. "Oh, yeah, I know that place. There are a lot of cool people there." Oneonta, this congregation is friendly and well-respected and historic and engaged, and it's home. Even our visitors, even the students who are taking that class in this sanctuary, refer to this as, it's like home. And so Cheryl and I decided to come here, and we were thrilled about it. And then came my installation, which I commissioned a stole for. I was going to wear it this morning, but for those of you who don't know about it, I went to the person who made my first stole, and I said, "I need a stole for my installation, and I want it to reflect the green hills and the blue river, and I want it to say, we're home. This is home." And she said, "You already have a blue stole, and you already have a green stole, and that's very pastoral and all that, but what you need is a red stole. You need one with fire and flames and passion." And I went, but that's not what I want. That's not who they are right now. That's not what I want it to be right now. I want the stole I asked for." And so she did. She made me the stole that I asked for. And it has the river running through it and the green hills. And it has geese flying, the pattern of geese that mean we're coming home. And it's gorgeous. And it's here. And it's about us. But I still think to myself, I wonder if she was there for the Walden is Burning sermon. Because fire seems to be a central metaphor to us, even without hell as part of our theology. And I think perhaps it's less about the hell and more about the flaming chalice. It's more about burning passion versus reserved intellect, which has been a dichotomy in our movement since the very beginning. We have a history of conflict between emotion and reason, heart and head, Unitarians and Universalists, pastoral versus prophetic, churches that are designed to be refuges from the world, at the same time, people who want to be reformers in it. And it's a balance, and it's a conflict. But the thing here is the world is rarely black and white. It's rarely either or. It's most often both and. And things are changing in our world. We do have a shrinking middle class and a hugely rising disparity in our economic equality. We have a loss of the Sabbath day. Rare is it the person that only works 5 days a week now? Rare is it the person who only has one job? And even if our kids, who may not be working, they have activities now. Rare is the day when you had school and then you had school activities and then you spent your weekends at home or at church. Now it's baseball and softball and acting and all manner of other things. There's been a rising distrust in institutions, and for good reason, especially amongst churches, unfortunately. And there has been a rise in the number of unchurched people. It used to be that you could assure that a majority of the people who came in as visitors into your church were leaving a Christian church. And that's changed to now where a majority of them are almost always, I haven't been to a church. I didn't go to a church. I wasn't raised in a church. So all of these things are changing, and all of those things are contributing to the fact that we have fewer people, fewer members. But this idea of constant growth all the time is rather unreasonable. Nature doesn't work that way. Nature ebbs and flows. The Reverend Christine Robinson of Albuquerque, New Mexico, proposes a different story for us, and it's more of one of reach, grow, rest, repeat. Reach, grow, rest, repeat. Congregations grow, and then they reach a plateau. Sometimes they shrink and reach a plateau. And then they go and do it again. We, as individuals, work and strive and learn and grow, and then we rest. I hope we rest. It's not healthy if we're not. We find some stability. We make sure the ground is firm underneath our feet. We shore things up, and then we reach for something else. We take another leap of faith. And so it is with this congregation. This congregation has done some truly amazing, remarkable things. The health clinic that this congregation formed matched the passions of this congregation with the community's deep need. It was greatly intentional, required an intense amount of work on your part, and now is a part of the fabric of this community that serves so many people in need. The Molly Project started in our classrooms as a lesson for our kids, then spread out, inspired other people to get involved, investigate. We started sponsoring 2 or 3 kids at first. Now we sponsor 53. We've bought an ambulance for them and helped dig a well for the school and the community, and now we're talking about helping them get their own library. Our ancestors would be thrilled. And it's taken a lot of work and a lot of energy and people visiting and staying connected. This congregation is amazing, and very few people know it. I have to tell you this. You don't hear it enough. There are not many projects like the health clinic or the Molly Project in our congregations. And where you find them, you will find them in congregations that are twice this size at least. And we really haven't tooted our own horn a lot about that amongst our colleagues and our other congregations in the UUA. And so when you ask people about Oneonta, they don't know what you're doing. They think you're just a small congregation in the middle of upstate New York. We're special, but nobody knows it because we've been hiding our light under a bushel. We're special, and sometimes we don't even believe it ourselves. I cannot tell you the number of people in the first or second year that I got here who came to me and wanted to know when I was leaving for a bigger church. Think about that. I had people tell me not to come here because this was a dead end. And then I got here and people here were wondering when I was leaving because this was a dead end. This is not a dead end. I did not come here because nobody else wanted me. I came here because this is a healthy congregation doing amazing things. And you continue to do amazing things, even during this period of rest. Our numbers of membership have held steady, while most other congregations have declined. Our religious education program has continued to expand and become more robust. We navigated Lisa stepping down and Susan stepping up. Right now, Susan is home trying to take care of her mother, who is ill. And the Religious Education Committee has stepped in to cover everything while she's gone. Most of you probably don't even know she's not here because of the committee doing their part. I came in this morning and we didn't quite have the room set up upstairs. The doors were closed. And two of our young ones came up there and I said, I need to get this ready. And they're like, we're on it. Good. Thank you. We had the most successful stewardship campaign we've had in years. And other congregations are struggling. We continue to give contributions to worthy causes well and above the size would indicate of this congregation. We have a revitalized social justice committee. They've been doing amazing things, and they've got people, they have too many people for the space they're meeting in most of the time. And they finally figured out that even though they all have individual passions, the only way they're going to get anything accomplished is if they all pull in the same direction at the same time. And so people are starting to take notice. Our website is on track and actually usable for the first time in years. And we just contracted to make it even better. We have a newfound relationship with both Hartwick and a new one developing with Suco. And quite frankly, folks, we do have a reputation with the UUA. They keep coming to us for leadership. They keep tapping people in this congregation to serve on committees and help with programs. So we are special in ways that we don't even give ourselves credit for. We've reached, and then we grow, and then we succeed, and then we rest. And then we repeat. We have been in a time of success and rest. I was not ready when I came here to start new projects, to charge forth, nor were you. You were tired, and you were trying to find your center again and find some stability. But you weren't stalled, you weren't struggling, you weren't in decline. You were resting, you were building, you were shoring up, and you were refocusing, and together that's what we've done. It took us a few years to get to know one another and work out how we were going to be in relationship together, but here we are. And then we started looking forward again. And we asked the important questions, who are we, and who do we want to be, and what does our community need from us, and what do we want to do? The long-range planning process began 2 years ago. The committee started by asking those questions and collecting our dreams, and they had cottage meetings to brainstorm the possibilities. We surveyed the congregation about their interests and their passion and their willingness to get involved on things. An idea without passion behind it is worthless. Passion without an idea is also worthless. Need both. Then the task forces got together and boiled those ideas and those passions down into distinct nuggets of where we would go. And then the board took it all and tried to put it all together and answer those questions. Now what? What's next? Any fans of West Wing? The old TV show, the political show? Yeah, I love that show. My favorite line, all the time, they'd be walking and talking and doing things and talking, and all of a sudden, What's next? What's next? Well, that's where we're at. What's next? Who are we? I'll tell you who we are. Our mission statement says it. We are creating beloved community. We're freely seeking the light. We're reaching for a better world. What are our strengths? I'll tell you what our strengths are. We are dedicated people with big hearts and generous spirits. Our greatest strengths are the fact that we care for one another deeply, always. We have a reputation in this community. We are known here for what we've done and what we do. We have a history here. This is a historic building. We are firmly rooted in this place, and we have done great things that we can be proud of. We are generous. We support each other and our principles in action. And anytime somebody's in need and I ask, I am always, always stunned at how much you give. And we have our connections. We have leaders in this congregation who are leaders in our community. We have students and staff and faculty on the campuses. We are involved in every part of the fabric of this area. Those are our strengths. Now, who do we want to be? The board thought long and hard and looked at everything that you came up with, and they decided that we want to be a church for all generations. That means we want to stay connected and better serve our older members who tend to slip away a little bit, fall under the radar. We want to be a place for families with children that is both safe and exciting and helps raise the next generation. And we want to reach out to that middle generation, that growing population of people who are anti-religious but spiritual, who are distrustful of institutions but want to be involved and change the world. Let me know if that sounds like anybody you know. We want to build a world where all beings matter. That means the marginalized and the forgotten and the voiceless and the abused. That means the economically disadvantaged are racial minorities, because while the Supreme Court seems to think that racism is dead, we all know that that is not true. That means our gay and lesbian and bisexual and queer and transgender allies, who quite frankly need more allies. It means all beings, not just humans. Our environment, the animals, the trees, the rivers, the lakes, they all matter. And we want to build a world where that's true for everyone. So what do we want to do? We want to expand our care for one another. We want to look for ways we can be allies in the community. We want to be a presence beyond these walls. We want to be advocates and allies. We want to make room here in our home for those who are looking, for those who need us, because we need them too. Now, how are we going to get from here to there? Well, first step is the congregational meeting today. We're going to vote on that long-range plan, and I hope you all vote for it. I hope you vote your support for the vision and the plan, because we need to choose a common vision. The Social Justice Committee has taught us that lesson. If we, in our diversity, cannot pick a common goal, we're never going to get there. It's like when I was a cab driver and five people would get in and I'd say, "Where do you want to go?" And five people would say five different things. We're not going anywhere until someone tells me exactly where we're headed. We need to pick a common vision and a common direction. And then we need to charge our leaders with keeping us on track. And then we need to empower each one of us to move forward, making plans and trying new things. And some of the new things we try are going to fail, and that's fine. Matter of fact, that's good. Failure usually leads to success. And then we need to embrace change. I know, change is scary. We want new members, we want new people, we want nothing to change. Doesn't work that way. We need to get involved, and we need to stay involved, and we need to stay informed. We need to support the mission and the vision and each other. That's what we need to do. Ours is not a message of hellfire and brimstone. I am not up here to scream doom and gloom at you. This congregation is not going to die if we do not change. Unitarian Universalism is not going to disappear if we do not do these things. Our message, though, is one of love and hope. We believe in this institution. We believe in this congregation. We believe in each other. And quite frankly, we believe that the world out there needs what we have to offer. And who better to do it than us? It's our responsibility to do so. The word religion comes from the root, religare. Anybody got Latin? Religare? It means to bind together. Now, to some, this means binding to God, something many of us resist or do not accept or understand. But for us, the non-creedal, the people of the covenant, it means to bind to one another. It means connections and commitment. We are connected in this. This wonderful institution, this wonderful endeavor that our ancestors decided was important. We are connected each to the other with bonds of love and mutual care, laughter and tears and life. We are connected to our wider community, to our neighbors and our families, our cities and our towns, with the knowledge that we are all in this together and that harm to one of us is harm to all. We are bound each to the other in the great web of life, robust and resilient and ready for the next day. This wheel continues to turn and the seasons continue to cycle. I know it's cold out there, but there are flowers blooming right outside the door. It's time to close this chapter and start another one. So, here's my message. Take your final bit of rest. Gather yourself. Your wits and your strength and your resolve and your passion. And then when you are ready, when we're ready, it's time to get up and move once more forward. Together, side by side, arms linked, hand in hand, forward. We really don't know any other way to do it. Our tradition and our ancestors, our aspirations, and our children inspire us and call us forward. So may it be.
Thank you for listening to this service recording of the Unitarian Universalist Society of Oneonta, New York. We are a welcoming congregation, accepting and affirming the lives of gay, lesbian, and bisexual people here among us. All members of the human family are welcome here. Our worship services take place every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. in our sanctuary, located at 12 Ford Avenue in Oneonta, New York. For more information about Unitarian Universalism and our congregation, please visit us in person or explore our website at www.uuso.org. This service is shared under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License.